Hello, how the tech are you? I am historian Matt, and this is our tech show on Echoplex Media. We do weekly. I'm historian Matt. I'm a co-producer and co-host, and I'm going to jump right into my stories. I got two stories. Both of them are kind of funny. So we'll start with the first one. First one is ChatGPT writes scientific papers. Well, sort of. Some scientific papers published in science journals appear to include text generated by ChatGPT or another AI chatbot. And this should sound familiar to another story we had on Amazon items using ChatGPT for their description. But in this case, searching for the phrase, as of my last knowledge update, returns over 100 results on Google Scholar, which means they're showing up in over 100 different research papers. The phrase is commonly returned by ChatGPT. And recently, just as an aside, a tweet went out pointing out this or similar phrases on Google Scholar as well. But it seems to be mostly in smaller, lower quality journals, sometimes referred to as paper mills. Those journals are ones that they have low quality. They have you have to pay to get into them. You have to pay for a lot of journals to get into them. But in these particular lower quality ones, that's pretty much the only hurdle. While the other ones where you have to pay, that money goes towards reviewing your research before they actually are included. But even though they're mostly in these smaller, lower quality journals, the phrases are found a few times in more reputable journals. Now, not all of this is bad, of course. There are legitimate reasons why the phrases could show up in the research. For example, papers studying the quality of responses from AI chatbots could have those phrases show up as examples of responses. What do you guys think?
Pay-to-play journals will do anything to get you to pay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say, I'm not necessarily against, having an AI chatbot write certain parts of your journal, certain parts of your paper, but it should be indicated somewhere on the paper that, this section is written by AI or something. I think ethically that's what you should do. You shouldn't try and pass that off as your own wording. Also, fucking proofread.
Yeah.
Why don't they proofread?
Yeah, I think even the article or some of the commenters on there said, you can use ChatGPT to, particularly, helping with the wording, right? Not the actual research itself. That should really be coming from you, and you should be reviewing the output, but, helping you with the writing, getting the words out kind of thing in a way that seems normal, readable and normal. Is perfectly valid use, but you should probably proofread and get rid of these kind of bits of text.
Yeah, it boggles my mind why someone would be writing a paper, an academic paper or a scientific paper, and not bother to proofread it.
Yeah.
There may be ways in which grifters might be doing this so that they can say that they're published.
Yeah.
I would have no experience with anything like that on any of our other shows in any possible kind of way. And we would never talk about such a thing or make fun of people ever.
Well, you didn't see it in Chemtrails journal.
Oh,
Chemtrails Quarterly.
There's an article. on our site specifically about a publication in a pay to play journal, but people can look for that and try to find it themselves. I'm not going to get into the conceptual penis right now.
Okay. Guess I'll go on to my next one if you don't have any more comments.
Yeah, sorry for ruining your story, Matt.
No, you did not. But it's good. Okay. My next story, which is a little more fun, even, U.S. demands fixable ice cream machines. And if you haven't been following the saga of ice cream machines, we'll go and get into it a little bit, at least. But basically, many devices are locked down by their manufacturer to keep users from repairing the device without their knowledge with a service they don't control or have a relationship with. Ice cream machines, specifically McDonald's ice cream machines, are well known for being broken and taking a long time to fix because of these kinds of problems. And this is, you know, there's been a bunch of articles. There's been a lot of pushback. And if you read the article that I've linked in the show notes, they go into a little more detail on some of the stuff people tried to do to get around these problems with the McDonald's ice cream machines. But the Department of Justice has asked the U.S. Copyright Office to exempt ice cream machines from the anti-circumvention rules of Section 1201 of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the DMCA, among other devices, but ice cream machines were particularly interesting. The exemption would allow third parties to repair ice cream machines, thus opening more competition in the market. And in the past, in similar cases, repair advocates have won exemptions for farm equipment, video game consoles, cars, and certain medical devices. So obviously ice cream machines are more important than all these other devices, so they should happen, right? What do you guys think?
Have you ever been to a McDonald's when the ice cream machine worked?
Once, actually.
Oh.
one time I went to one and the ice cream machine worked and we ordered ice cream and it was amazing. I honestly didn't think that would ever happen in my lifetime. No, but this is so clearly a problem that shouldn't even exist. It's such an indication of the failure of the DMCA. The DMCA basically made it so that like all you have to do is put any sort of encryption on anything. Like you could encrypt like your shoelaces and then someone untying them, it would be technically illegal according to the DMCA. Like, oh, you're bypassing copyright by breaking the encryption on my shoelaces.
Yeah.
I would like the encrypted shoelaces, actually. I would like to try them.
Can't steal my shoes off my feet.
It is such a poorly written law. And everyone who was against it at the time was saying, like, this will be the result of it. The result will be, like, and they laid out exactly what has happened. So it's not like we didn't foresee this. It was just a terribly written law. It's designed to give big businesses maximum amount of power. So it's no wonder we have to, you know, exclude ice cream machines, because the ice cream machine manufacturers used this ridiculous law to the detriment of all consumers.
Yeah.
Children, especially.
Yep. What was that?
Children, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the company that repairs McDonald's ice cream machines, I think it quoted in the article, taking off my memory, so I'm not positive on this, but I think they charge $350 an hour to fix the machines.
Jesus.
That's why they're never fixed.
That's good work if you can get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, how can you expect the McDonald's to make up that kind of money? Like, let's say it takes, you know, 3 hours to fix. At, you said $250 an hour. That's $750. $350. So that's what? That'd be like over $1,000.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's something like a 15 minute minimum. And then it'll be broken
the next day. Like, they're not going to make $1,000 by the time that machine is going to break again, because they break all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, they could if they charged you $500 for an ice cream.
Yeah. It might be a little much for McDonald's ice cream. I don't know. I don't think I've ever had McDonald's ice cream.
Oh, it's so good.
Part of it is I just don't go to fast food restaurants anymore, or very rarely.
Oh, the McDonald's sundae is so good with the crappy crushed peanuts on top. Oh, and that horrible cherry. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. I personally think there should be a blanket exemption for repairs for everything.
Yep, I would agree.
That would probably kind of break the DMCA, because you could say you're breaking the encryption for repairs, like, always. But then again, the law is so crappy, it deserves it.
We could certainly try it. The way these exemptions work is they have to be renewed every 3 years. So every 3 years, there's a process of where they basically determine what is exempt. And every single time, all of them either need to be renewed or they go away. Yeah. And they're doing it this year. 2024 is one of the 3 year, you know, the last one was 2021. So next one is this year. So basically, if these things don't get renewed, they become illegal again.
Right.
Or if something new gets added, it becomes not illegal now.
Yeah.
I want to go to jail for illegally fixing a McDonald's ice cream machine.
Apparently, there again in the article, there was a company that took a Raspberry Pi and basically allowed you to connect it to the ice cream machines and get better error codes. So it would actually describe like what the problem is, you know, with the machines, so you could fix it yourself. And they got sued badly by the company that makes the ice cream machines, which isn't McDonald's. It's another company. And that's what a lot of this is about, because if they get this exemption through, then I think that device becomes legal again.
We should start the Open Ice Cream Foundation.
Open Ice Cream Foundation.
Yeah, the Open Ice Cream Foundation. We should start that.
OICF.
OICF. I like that.
Let's get on it.
Matt, you could help us pay for that, I think.
Maybe not anymore, but let's not get into that.
Uh-oh. All right, what do you got, HK?
All right. Hello, how the tech are you? My name is HK Perrin, and this week I've got a really interesting story. If you are a Linux user, you may have heard KDE 6 came out recently. Well, GNOME 46 is going to be out as of the recording today. It'll be out in 2 days, but when this comes out, it should already be out. GNOME 46 is going to have some really awesome features that I'm very excited for as a GNOME user myself. And I am pronouncing it GNOME and GNOME because everyone always tells me it's one, so I just pronounce it both ways. Expandable notifications. If you get a notification that is too long to display, you can now actually read all the text with the new expand button. I can't wait for that. Online accounts now lets you add WebDAV, CardDAV, and CalDAV accounts. So you can now have an account that syncs your files, your contacts, and your calendars with the server using those protocols. And as someone who has written my own WebDAV server, I'm very excited for that. Remote login with RDP. You can now enable remote access to your desktop with RDP straight from the GNOME settings app. And finally, better fractional scaling support. So fractional scaling, which is where you set your screen to increase by like 125% or like 150% rather than like 200 or 300%. You know, a fraction of 100%. That is finally leaving the experimental realm, and you can set your screen to 125, 150, 175. If you have one of those displays like I have, where 200 is way too big and 100 is way too small. So I'm really excited for that. What do you guys think?
I'll probably never see it because I just run mainline Ubuntu.
Yeah, it sounds nice, but maybe not something I would notice.
I do like out of the desktop environments, I do prefer we'll go with another pronunciation I've heard, GNOME. We call it GNOME too. I do prefer that, but you know, my production machines, I don't f with anything, so whatever Ubuntu Studio ships, that's what I'm running, and in this case it's now KDE, so that's what I spend most of my time in. Probably some very old version of Plasma, because I also stick to the LTSs, and I'm 2 years behind everybody because of that. But I like every time I see a refresh of the GNOME desktop, I always like the new features that they seem to be doing a pretty good job chugging along and not changing things too much so that it annoys you, but adding neat stuff that you're like, oh, that's neat. And that's probably the best way for iterative change to happen for you. Instead of something completely disrupting your workflow, you go, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, one of the things that I really like about GNOME is the fact that like there is so little to the UI outside of your windows that you get like the maximum screen space that you can. And I know you can configure KDE for that, but I just really like the way that Would you call it genome?
Genome.
I really like the way that genome actually like lays out things by default.
Oh, well, that's great. Yeah, I don't ever like the laptop that I have Gnome on is just as like a carry around that I like use like during the show to like monitor Twitch chat. I just install Ubuntu and whatever they decided it should do it. That's what it does. And I just don't care. I tweak it. I'm like, could you please give me dark mode? And that's it. That's my whole process. I know that there's a lot of customization and stuff in there, but, and I probably would have done a bunch of it like in years past, but now I'm just like, oh, I know where everything is. This is fine. I have work to do.
Yep. So yeah, I was the same way. I used to love to customize everything. And now it's like, I find something that has a default that I like and I just leave it that way.
And if the default is a little different than I want it, but it's not too annoying, I'm just like, I'll just get used to this.
Yep.
Do you remember the open close button argument? Should they be on the left side or the right side of the window?
Oh my god, yeah, that was back during Unity, right?
Yeah
we're trying to Ubuntu do it more like Unity Mac.
And that I hated.
Well, I did like that, like when you maximized a window, it the title bar would kind of become the bar at the top.
Yeah,
and the close windows would go up into that bar, and I really liked that because then it got it, you had like the most screen real estate it would seem like possible while still having like good control over the UI.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I think by that point though, I was definitely just like, okay, well, whatever the defaults are, it's fine. I'll just get used to it. What I do like is like RDP, like directly from the settings, cause it's in the settings, mm-hmm. but it's not, you have to like go looking for it and you have to configure it. Yep. And this, I would imagine if it's just like one of the settings, I imagine it's also got like sane defaults and makes it like really easy to get it.
Yep. Yeah. It's going to have RDP and SSH both. Like you'll be able to set up remote access with both of those right from the settings, which is really awesome.
Yeah. I have a NAS that I'm just too lazy to actually use any NAS software for. So I just install Ubuntu on it and I use RDP to get into it. And that's how I manage that system. I know whatever there's other, you know, but I'm like, you know what the system does? I back up stuff to it. And then I watch the X files from it on my, on my Kodi box. So I'm like, I don't care if it lets me send files to it and then lets me watch the X files. It's done its job. So that's really cool. I'm, you know, maybe, I doubt that this will be in the Ubuntu 14.04 LTS because that's coming pretty soon. And I imagine they
24.04. I think it is.
Really?
I'm pretty sure Ubuntu times their releases so that they can include the latest GNOME, with their newest release. So I'm pretty sure 24.04 will have GNOME 46.
Oh, well then I'll get it. I don't know, probably not the day that 24.04 comes out, because man, the trying to install it the day it comes out is
yep. I always wait like a month before I try and upgrade.
I just wait until it alerts me to it, and it never alerts you on the first day because it's like we're having enough problems over here as it is.
Yep.
Just wait till it tells me, and then I'm like, oh, you're telling me to do that, that's fine, we'll do what you're saying, laptop. Sort of like now how it will alert you that you have new firmware for your motherboard or whatever. I'm like, well, I guess now's the time to do that.
Yeah, I really like that. Except I run a VM and it always tells me that there's new firmware for the VM's firmware.
Well, just ignore that.
It doesn't actually work. Like it doesn't update it because it's in a VM. It's all virtualized.
Yeah, I don't
like it notifies me constantly about it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not what it's for. I think they must assume that someone running a virtual machine is smarter than you and knows that that's not going to work. All right. Well, I guess it's my turn. I got two and neither of them are great. One is Pornhub pulls out of Texas. They're probably, I don't know, they're maybe they're big fans of the pullout over there. February 2024, the Texas Attorney General filed a lawsuit claiming Pornhub violated the state's age verification law. June 2023, Texas passed HB 1181, and it requires government age verification for porn sites. The site must also display a warning with a bunch of pseudoscience about things like a porn addiction. And other states where there are similar laws include Montana, North Carolina, Virginia, Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Utah. This is stupid, right?
This is incredibly stupid.
I also think this is the second time we've covered this, but I think the previous time we covered this story, it was Pornhub said they will pull out if this law passes, and I guess the law has passed now, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I just figure, let people watch porn.
Yeah.
I just figure, like, the people who really like porn are just going to use a VPN.
Yep. Or we'll have to go back to, like, dirty VHS tapes.
Wasn't there, like, studies that found that, like, these red states had more porn watching? I know it was, like, if there was a conservative conference in an area, the hotels reported there was a lot more porn being bought on their TV systems. I know that one. I don't know about the states as a whole, though.
These might be like snapshots in time, and it might also be that there could be ways in which, like, they're only checking sites like Pornhub, whereas, like, people in, like, maybe places like California or Massachusetts might have a more refined taste in pornography websites, and so they're not checking the sites that are captured by the list. I saw something about how those are possibly misleading. I do like that Grindr will always mention that CPAC puts a pretty big load on there.
That's right.
On their system. I do like that they mentioned that. This is just dumb, though. You're like limiting. You're like not going to stop anybody. You think a kid that wants to go, like a kid, I don't, you know, a teenager or whatever, 16-year-old who wants to go look at some porn, can't just go find a way to look at it anyway on the internet without, like, there's going to be like, I think it's just going to increase traffic to like smaller, lesser known sites in Texas, and the operators of those sites just aren't going to comply with the law, I would assume.
Yeah.
Well, I also assume that this whole thing is going to be defeated with a VPN anyways.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It does take a little bit of technical knowledge to know, but
I mean, not
that much.
It will be, I think it will be about a month before we start seeing YouTubers, advertising that, you know, the VPN that they're that has sponsored their video is great for watching porn,
or great for people in Texas, maybe, right? Because you're not not supposed to say that specifically in your YouTube video. Maybe if you say, I think people in, what were the states again, Texas, Montana, North Carolina, Virginia, Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Utah might really like this product.
First of all, I'm surprised that Florida was not on that list, and kind of surprised Virginia is on the list, but even though Virginia is kind of known as a red state, the northern part of Virginia, known as Northern Virginia, is basically a big suburb of DC and is quite a bit more liberal.
We're probably looking at gerrymandering.
Yeah,
probably a result of gerrymandering.
That's true. Yeah. But I mean, I think a lot of those like VPNs and stuff run out of Northern Virginia. There's a lot of tech stuff there.
That's great. That's great. And because then that's great for them to use their own VPN to look at adult websites. They'll have to like say that they're in London or something.
Yeah.
Man, this is dumb. This is dumb. I think that the people that put this bill together and stuff knew that it wasn't going to be effective. I think it was just red meat for a certain kind of person.
This will be a great use of the 451 error code, HTTP error code.
But this is
due to legal reasons.
Pornhub put up just a thing about on their website on it about why you're not allowed to view it.
Okay.
Yeah.
They just didn't, you know. I didn't read through too much of it, but it, you know, it was it leaned a little heavy on the personal freedom side things, but like, I don't know. I think it should just say, well, your state has decided that you are not, that you cannot look at people naked. That's stupid. That's what it should say.
Yep.
Yeah.
Your state has decided that if you want to look at naked people, you'll have to just go make a naked friend, apparently.
Which is much harder for conservatives, so I feel for them.
I truly do. Sometimes. I mean, I don't know. Some of them be hot. I don't know what you're talking about. All right, I got my next story. This one is equally stupid. And it's back to my roots on this show, talking about Apartheid Clyde. Don Lemon was going to have a show on Twitter's X, and then Elon Musk canceled it because, of course. Lemon was not a super credulous in his interview with Elon Musk last week, and so now, sorry, you're not having a show on Twitter, and free speech wins again. What do you guys think? Did you see the interview?
I haven't seen the interview yet. I don't know where to find it. Is it on the thing you linked?
It should be, and if not, it's probably on the Odyssey website.
Okay. I heard a quote from Don Lemon where he basically said that Elon Musk is the most fragile snowflake he's ever interviewed.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, sounds about right.
Yeah. Checks out.
Yes. He was not happy with the line of just normal questions that somebody would ask someone in a position of power like Elon Musk. He asked him about his drug use, and instead of Elon Musk just saying, I sometimes recreationally use drugs, he seemed very upset to be asked about that, because
okay,
yep. Elon Musk is so far detached from reality, though. Like, of course this happened.
I don't know why he, I mean, I know what, like, he, so I don't understand if, so my understanding here is this was going to be a show, not like I could just go pay him money for the check mark and push like our streams to the to X or Twitter or whatever. I would never do that. But I could. But I think this was that it was going to be like promoted by the website as like one of the shows that's on there, as they apparently make the pivot to video or something. They think they're going to pivot to video.
I read that the CEO, what's her name? Is it Linda Yaccarino? Is that her name?
Yes.
Yeah, I read that she pushed for this because she wanted to show that the company would allow more than just right-wing voices on their platform. And then it's like immediately Elon cancels the project, and it's like, okay, well, you've shown the exact opposite of that.
You've shown
congratulations.
That a man baby who didn't like a question or two, yep, or all of them, can just pull the plug on anything on your platform, which would lead, I would think, even moderate conservatives to not want to use the platform in that way.
Yeah. You would think so, yeah.
Yep. It's very funny. It's very funny. It's because Don Lemon is like just the nicest guy. You know what I'm saying? He was in no way rude. He just asked questions and asked follow-up questions. And I thought it was good. I enjoyed watching it because it was like, this is what it's like to watch this guy squirm. And, but it was, the questions were really just normal. It was so crazy just that he got this mad that he took his ball and went home. Like, you can't play on my playground. You beat me at basketball. You can't play on this hoop.
Did Elon try to approve the questions beforehand, or
that I don't know. It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it, but this, I guess, was supposed to be the first episode of Don Lemon's show on Twitter.
Like, honestly, you can't even make that up.
It's
so great.
But this, honestly, I mean, there's nothing, Don Lemon came out of this looking pretty good because he didn't do any. Yep. It's not like he threw, you know, he didn't like stab Elon or anything. Like he didn't even ask any, like, I mean, he asked questions that are, I guess, supposedly difficult, but they're only difficult if you're an asshole and don't want to answer that particular question. But you could just say, hey, I actually don't, my recreational drug use is none of your business. That also works.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, he's like, I don't use drugs at work. And I only use substances that are legal in the state that I'm in. And so,
yeah, but you don't know how much of that would be a lie if Elon said it.
It's not illegal to lie.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
It's very funny. I almost didn't put this on here. I was like, no, we got to put this on here. Free speech, everybody. Free speech. My God. All right. Well, I don't know. I guess that's the show. HK, you want to read this show out?
Yep. Thank you for watching How the Tech Are You? We do this show weekly and put it out in segments on YouTube, and we also put it out as a podcast. You can check out this and all of our other shows at echoplexmedia.com. And if you liked, you can, if you liked the video, you can like a video on YouTube. If you want to subscribe, you can subscribe. If you want to support us, you can do that on patreon.com/echoplex or at eplex.store. There's going to be another video on the screen right here, and have a great tech and week.